Blog Talk Radio.
It's like the E on the beat.
Oi, this one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You go make you manya manya. In it is manya manya. Oh yeah, make you ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta eh. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta eh. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. This one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You go make you manya manya. Next is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. Hey. People with kalaka. Hey. Yeah, nandi walanya. Hey. Nandi kalanya. It go make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. It go make you feel nice. Oh yeah, let's go to Kenya, Rwanda and Tanzania. Togo, Cameroon, Niger, Ghana, South and Sudan. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Make you dance, yeah. Ricotta mama Africa, ricotta eh. Make it dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Mwane sara sara le, o sara sara le. Make it dance, yeah, 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 yeah. O sara sara le, mama Africa sara sara le. Make it dance, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oy, this one na die, yo. If you dance up easy, make you no fight, oh. Oy. Go forget your sorrow. Makachuku, you go buy and play for your moto. Oh, hey, hey. This one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. Hey. People with kalaka. Hey. Yeah, nandi walanya. Hey. Nandi kalanya. You go make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. You go make you feel Niger. Oh yeah, let's go to Zambia, Uganda, South Africa, Togo, Cameroon, Burundi, also Benin Republic. Hey. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. When the sara sara le, oh sara sara le. Make you dance, yeah.
Healing. My name is Viata. I'm your host tonight, and we're talking about Black women and AIDS. And the reason this topic is come up tonight is because your host reads a lot. And every morning I look at my phone and I look at the news on my phone. I don't watch TV. I don't have a television. I use Netflix or Hulu Plus too for entertainment and mostly watching documentaries. So just the other day, I'm looking at the news, and there's a headline that says, "Why are so many Black women dying of AIDS?" And of course, that caught my curiosity because it's been some 10 years or more that I learned the truth about AIDS. And you just don't hear about AIDS too often these days in the 2015. It's rare, in fact, to see anything in the news about AIDS. But when that caught my attention for one reason, again, I learned the truth about AIDS about 10 years ago, and I have actually met people who had AIDS and who recovered from it. And, of course, the topic, Black women dying of AIDS, since I am of African-American ancestry, among other cultures, Native American, it got my attention. So I read this article. And I was really surprised at some of the conclusions that this article was coming to. This article was written by a woman named Lori Schragadek. I think that's how you pronounce it. Schragadek is the author of the article. It's a New York Times article that was posted December 11, 2015. And for those of you who are not familiar with AIDS and HIV, I doubt that, of course, these are acronyms that stand for Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome, AIDS, and then you have HIV, which is what they have named the virus that contributes to AIDS, human immunodeficiency virus. That's where HIV comes from. So this show tonight is all about gaining knowledge. I don't have a guest. I have lots of knowledge that I have gained over the years. I've gained so much knowledge about this topic over the years that I gathered up all my literature, all my books. I even have a YouTube video on Dr. Horowitz, Leonard Horowitz, whose book I read, or actually whose tape I listened to in 1996 about AIDS. And in 1990, I had another paper about viruses that I held on to for many, many years. So I have had this knowledge about AIDS for so many years, and to read an article that was saying why so many black women are dying of AIDS, it was just so full of misinformation and misunderstandings and untruths that I had to bring this to your attention on this show. We're going to listen to a couple of YouTube audios tonight because I want my audience to gain some knowledge about this subject. We can't just read everything or listen to everything we hear in the media. We will be misinformed, deceived, and full of lies. So this show is all about bringing us back into alignment with the wisdom, overstanding, understanding, innerstanding, and knowledge of the Most High Yahuwah, King of the universe, the cosmos, universe, all this energy around us that gives us truth when we look for it. I have learned in my 60 years on the earth that when you seek truth, you'll find it. But if you accept what the media especially is throwing out there, especially this article on why so many black women are dying of AIDS in the New York Times, a major publication, major media newspaper, you can't accept everything they say as truth. This is what really wakes you up in people, with people who are conscious, and you read this type of thing almost by accident, but I don't believe anything's an accident. I was meant to read that on my phone. I don't buy newspapers. I just scan the titles, the headlines on my phone, and whatever gets my attention, I open it up and read a little bit about it. So tonight we're gaining knowledge, and then I'll be opening up the phones if anyone has questions or comments about this topic. But I want to start by just giving you just a little bit about what this article is saying about black women and AIDS. And what this base article is basically saying, it's bringing the attention to the statistics, of course, that HIV/AIDS was the leading cause of death of black women during, 20 times higher than that for white women. And in 2004, HIV/AIDS was the leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34. Who knew that? Who knew that? I didn't know that. Maybe I was just off somewhere not paying attention. But in 2004, that was less than 10 years ago, the leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34. Now, why are they reporting this now? Because they did a study conducted by two professors at the University of California, Berkeley, who determined that from 1970 to 2000 was a period in which incarceration rates for black men went skyrocket to roughly six times the rate for non-Hispanic whites, and the HIV/AIDS infection rate for black women rose to 19 times the rate for non-Hispanic white women. These are the statistics that are brought out in this article. So what's the connection here? What does that have to do with black women getting AIDS at a higher rate than other women in our population? Well, what this article is trying to say is that high incarceration rates substantially reduce the number of men in black communities and rupture social relationships, which may increase the number of concurrent sexual partners each man has. In other words, women are out there sleeping with too many men, and many of those men have been incarcerated, and they are carrying the, quote, HIV AIDS virus. And women, black women, what they call these facts, this is a quote from the article, which is just so unreal to me. These facts suggest that an important contributor to the HIV crisis among black women may be hyper-incarceration, end quote. These studies help dispel the sorts of stereotypes that have hobbled responses to this HIV crisis. Secretive or closeted bisexuals have often been blamed for spread of HIV to heterosexual black women, but there is little evidence to support that belief that there are higher rates of bisexuality among black Americans who are not in prison. Nor does the explanation lie in riskier health habits. Outside of prison, African Americans have the same or lower rates of risky sex or drug use as other Americans. Explanations like these reinforce homophobic and racist blame-the-victim attitudes. They have also impeded disease reduction by wrongly identifying vectors of transmission. Now, you read this, and it gets a little confusing. So they're saying there's a higher prevalence of HIV among prison populations, and yet they don't want to be homophobic, and there's no explanation for riskier health habits. The article gets even more confused and says, once a virus spreads in a particular community, members of that community can be at increased risk for infection, even when their rates of participation in activities that can expose them to the virus are the same as in other communities. Mass incarceration may help explain the spread of HIV to and within the African American community, including heterosexual African American women. I read this and I was just confused at all of it. On the one hand, they're saying, well, they're not going to be homophobic, and they're not going to say that all this is related to the number of concurrent sexual partners. And then on the other hand, they're saying that mass incarceration explains the spread of HIV within the African American community. So, of course, the article ends, there's an urgent need for newer policy approaches. They're demanding rigorous enforcement of Prison Rape Elimination Act in order to significantly reduce sexual assaults and coercive sexual practices. They need to insist condoms be distributed in prisons. Finally, we must continue to work to eliminate racial profiling in our criminal justice system and significantly reduce incarceration rates by revising laws and punishment practices. With a better understanding of the compounded injustices that may contribute to the spike in HIV/AIDS rates among African Americans, let's hope there will soon be an outrage cry and unnecessary loss of black lives from HIV/AIDS and mass incarceration. This article is just so confusing that I was just had inspired to bring a show to help us gain more knowledge about this subject, because you read something like that, and here we go again, victim, and it's all because we have all these black men incarcerated in prison, and then the women are out here sleeping with so many men who are carrying this quote virus that is spreading among the African American female population. So let's tonight shine a light of truth on, quote, the HIV/AIDS epidemic that this article claims is still going on, and which I learned many, many years ago, the root of the AIDS/HIV lie and hoax that we have been that has been perpetrated on the population all over the world. Because what we have learned in this country especially is that AIDS means you're susceptible to life-threatening infections, cancer, neurological disorders. But if you know what AIDS really is and how it got started, then you're not so easy to fall for the belief that if you have it, you're going to have a life-threatening disease or infection. Because actually, the root cause or location of the virus, HIV virus, is that it was injected into the human population. That's right, injected. Because a virus grows in every human or any animal or person after something is injected into that person. A virus is not, quote, a live bacteria. It's a virus is a solvent. And there was an interview that I read about years ago by a doctor, Andjanis. Let's see, what is his full name? Dr. Andjanis Vonderplanets. There was a very informative interview. He's a nutritionist, a researcher, about viruses. And I think that's where we need to start tonight, is what exactly is a virus? Because you go to a doctor's office, a doctor says they can't give you antibiotics because it's a virus. So what does that mean? That means your body needs to get rid of this solvent on its own, because just like water is our main solvent, and viruses are created as natural microbial cleansings, according to this report. So you have pigs start diseases because they're so contaminated with heavy metals and garbage and all that. So a pig creates its own virus because the body is cleaning out the garbage with a solvent, and that solvent becomes a virus, because that's what viruses do. Viruses are necessary. The swine flu, for example, rose because we have sick pigs out there who cannot clean up their own mess. So the necessary microbial response is inadequate. So in other words, your body, when your body is so toxic and so filthy, like a pig, then your body creates a solvent called a virus. That's what a virus is. It's a fluid. It's a solvent that is created in the body to clean it out. Viruses are created to clean it out. And every species has their own virus. You can't have a pig virus in you unless it was injected in you. So you know, probably know where I'm going. All viruses are good viruses, according to Dr. Andjanis's. Viruses have no nucleus, they have no respiratory system, no circulatory system, so they're not like bacteria. They're not alive. It's like a solvent, which is like a soap. There are soaps that are enzymes that fractionate tissue for waste elimination. That's what a virus is. A virus is basically something that's created by your body to eliminate waste. Okay, that's what a virus. So we're talking about the HIV, which is a human immunodeficiency, quote, virus that contributes to AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. But a virus is a solvent that's created in each species, a pig, a turkey, a human. We all create our own viruses to fractionate tissue for waste elimination, okay? So every species develops their own virus. So how is it that the swine flu virus, for instance, was so prevalent in so many people and caused so many problems? It's because it was injected into the human body, And one of the things that we need to be aware of is that the AIDS virus, and this is something, please don't believe anything I say on this show. Do your own research. That's how I found out, gained this knowledge about AIDS and HIV. I did lots and lots of research, and then people were handing me tapes to listen to, and that's how I learned about Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who wrote the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, and gives a very deep rabbit hole about where AIDS started. So here's a little summary on where AIDS came from. This is something you can research. It's on the internet. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. Just put in, where did AIDS start? Now here's a little summary, because we're talking about in our New York Times article that was so full of misinformation and so confusing and so prejudiced about the incarceration of black men being at the root of this spread among black women. And we're not getting the truth when we read something like that. So how did the AIDS start? Let me give you a little bit of information. This may be shocking to some, and you're going to probably be shouting, well, conspiracy theory. But do your own research. Look it up on the internet and YouTube. If you go to Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I'm going to play one of his lectures just to show you how he gained this information. He's a very prominent, he was a dentist, and then he started doing research, and then just divinely information started coming to this man where he started exposing where the AIDS and Ebola started. So here's the history of AIDS. In 1961 and 62, the University of California combined waste products from the lymphonomic virus of a sheep and a virus of a bovine. Now, why did they do this? Because basically the information online says they wanted to create a new, often deadly biological warfare disease. This is everywhere on the internet. You can read it. So AIDS started because University of California and other systems were doing the work of the elite to create biological weapons. So leukemic virus of a cow and a sheep were created for a deadly biological warfare disease. Remember, this is online, this is everywhere, to create cancer in laboratory animals so they could study cancer. So initially they thought they were going to just study cancer. But the evil minds of our day started saying, well, let's hold on to these viruses. And the Bush family was involved. And then there's a guy named Dr. Strecker, who was an attorney, said, where is this going to lead? So they checked NSA, the War Department, and yes, information had been sent out to other departments that, quote, listen to this, it was given the green light for experimental warfare testing on, quote, undesirables. The particular committees to choose who would be undesirables chose homosexuals. Okay? So they did lots of experiments back in the early 1960s, 62, on gay men, shooting them up with vaccines, viruses, whatever. They wanted to get it in their blood and create, and they do all the experiments that they do to start the biological warfare. Because there is truly an agenda to reduce the population, and part of their agenda was to experiment on gay men back in the 60s and inject them with vaccines. And then those men who were practicing sex with multiple partners, who were taking alcohol, who were using drugs to perform their sexual acts, those are the men who were diagnosed with the acquired immune deficiency disease, because they were injected with vaccines that had viruses in them. When you do the research on vaccines, this is all going back to vaccines, and that's what you're going to hear with Dr. Leonard Horowitz in a minute, is that anything that's injected into the human blood as, quote, a vaccine, it more than likely carries a virus. Why does it carry a virus? Because to develop the vaccine, they do experiments on animal tissues. Early, back in the late 50s and 60s, the experiments were done on monkey kidneys, monkey testicles, monkey everything. Thousands of monkeys were brought to this country in the 50s and 60s to do experiments on their tissues and develop vaccines, polio vaccines. And guess what they found in many of those vaccines? Viruses. They found viruses because the monkeys were in such a stressful state of physical condition that they developed the solvent to detox their bodies. And when they did these experiments with vaccines to develop the vaccines, voila, viruses were showing up. They actually have numbered these viruses that were located in the vaccine experiments so that they actually have something in the neighborhood. And back in the 60s, they were up to like SV, they would count them SV number 40. So all these viruses start developing from the tissue of animals. You cannot get viruses from anywhere else except from that species. In other words, a human body cannot produce a monkey virus. It has to be injected. So when we're talking about AIDS and HIV developing in a particular group of people, guess what? Somewhere along the line, someone has been injected with these vaccines, and those viruses are floating around in the blood to create all kinds of infections and diseases because that person has a weak immune system. So I'm going to take a little break and see if I can play Dr. Horowitz's YouTube video here, because he's the expert. I'm just sharing with you the knowledge I have gained over the last some 20 years, maybe. It's been so long. That's why I kind of put AIDS in the back of my mind. I thought, oh, well, this is old news, and really we don't hear about it anymore. So I figured, well, this is old news, and we're not going to hear much about it. But then, lo and behold, a New York Times article shows up talking about black women have died in the 2000 in a period of time on this earth than that was the number one cause of disease. Women, we got to wake up. That's going to be the solution here. I'm going to go into our sacred woman position. But let me play this. It's about 9 minutes, and it's Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who's the author of Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. And he tells, and it's an introduction to how he started researching this topic. Very fascinating. So just please listen for the next 9.5 minutes or so to Dr. Leonard Hoare. He's the expert. He wrote the book, and he's continuing to do the research. He actually risked his life to share this information because there are powers that be that don't want this information out, but we need the knowledge because the scriptures remind us.
Let me just share with you quickly how I got started. You would never imagine this. In 1982, when I was finishing up my Harvard Master's in Public Health, and I was asked, would I like to participate in educating gay folks and others about this thing called gay-related immune deficiency? This was before it was called AIDS. And I said, nah, I don't want to deal with that disease at all. I don't want to think about that at all. Here I am, 15 years later, 16 years later, and what am I doing? Traveling around the world, telling people about the man-made origins of AIDS and Ebola. I was working over here. My favorite area of research and teaching was in self-care, healthy human development, motivational psychology, teaching people, like Danny does, how to take better care of themselves, boost their immune systems. So I was really into that. I love that. That's my favorite thing. And one day, kind of like the miracle happened, where there was a crisis, and I was the right person at the right time. It was the 1990, July 27th, 1990, when the case of the Florida dental AIDS tragedy hit the press. You remember the case of the Florida dentist who infected his patients with the AIDS virus? And 3 years, at that time, I was serving as the world's leading dental and medical catalog supply company's chief professional advisor. And my background was in media, health education, health promotion, fear, because I worked on dental phobia reduction therapy programs, behavioral therapy programs to allay people's fear going to the dentist. And I had been a dentist for 16 years in health education and media, persuasion, technology. And here the media was making so many people afraid to go see their dentist in the wake of this case. So I was asked. I was told, I was given the job opportunity to develop patient educational literature to help allay people's fear of going into dental medical practices. So I started to research. The Centers for Disease Control's official investigation reports on the case, I first found them to be scientifically questionable. I then found them to be scientifically bogus, and then later found them to be fraudulent. They had literally covered up, deleted the most incriminating evidence against the dentist, who I have to conclude after 3 years of studying this case and publishing 3 scientific reports, literally having to go out of the United States to publish because the American Dental Association, American Medical Association, wanted to maintain a cover-up. And I wrote a book that was based on those 3 scientific reports called Deadly Innocence, my 9th book, wherein I had to conclude that the dentist, based on all the evidence, using the FBI's own behavioral science literature, how they themselves investigate and evaluate these types of cases, that this dentist, scientifically trained, military dentist for much of his career, very intelligent dentist, believed that he was dying of a virus that the government had created. They covered that up. He believed that they had intentionally injected this virus during a 1978 experimental hepatitis B vaccine that was given to a lover of his that he had in 1985. And that's how he got infected. And he believed that this was genocide. And he believed in what was called the World Health Organization theory of AIDS. The videotape that Danny stated he saw, the Strecker Memorandum, was what Dr. David Acker believed, that the World Health Organization, the United States Public Health Service, Centers for Disease Control, had something to do with the development of these types of viruses and the deployment of them through hepatitis B and other vaccines in Africa and North America. In essence, I have to conclude at the end of that case that the dentist most plausibly was identical to an organized serial killer. He maintained a classic organized serial killer personality. You know, like the Unabomber? These people, they all, according to the FBI, kill for the sake of power, control, and revenge. Revenge being the major theme. And the principal issue, his principal vendetta, was screaming loud and clear in the legal testimonies. It was against the federal government. In essence, I concluded that he created a crime. He did what all organized serial killers love to do. They manipulate the authorities into catch-22s. The Unabomber, he publishes his manifesto in the New York Times, Washington Post, says, here's what I believe, you try to get me. David Acker, the Florida dentist, was virtually identical to this. In essence, he created a crime, a mystery that could not be solved without implicating the government. Because if they told the truth, if they said he was an organized serial killer, then the whole world would want to know motive. And the motive was screaming loud and clear in the legal testimony, which they buried. So, there was one document, however, that came along with that videotape called the Strecker Memorandum that Strecker sent to David Acker. And it was the most horrifying document I had ever seen. It was a 1970 Department of Defense appropriations request for $10 million for a 5-year study to develop immune system ravaging microorganisms for germ warfare. And it said right in this document that the National Academy of Sciences, National Research Council, the most esteemed of all health science agencies in America, not only informed the Department of Defense that, quote, over the next 5 to 10 years, it will be possible to make a new infective microorganism that could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing microorganism. And most important of these is that it would be refractory to the immunologic and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious diseases. End quote. And they not only told Department of Defense that, this esteemed health science agency, but that and that it would cost them $2 million a year over 5 years to do it, but that they would help them to do it. So I believed our government at the time was not particularly trustworthy, but you know, I could not imagine that this document was legitimate. I lived in denial, like most people, most Americans, most people worldwide are living in denial today because they are so brainwashed, they are brain dead. I lived in denial just like that. I said, okay, I've heard some weird things, but here I'm looking at this, and it looks legitimate. So what do I do? All I know now is I've got the World Health Organization theory, and I've got this document. I know perhaps, maybe, if this document is legitimate, and indeed it was. In fact, what they were looking for specifically was in the congressional record. This was in the congressional record. They were looking for a, quote, super germ, end quote. That word was in the congressional record. That could wipe out the human being's immune system, the defense system against infectious diseases, leaving us, human beings, susceptible to the opportunistic infections like tuberculosis, like candidiasis, like yeast infections, like pneumonia, and like cancers. So this is what they're looking at. So ultimately, what did I do? I went back to Harvard's Countway Medical Library, where I did most of my postdoctoral research. And I go to the World Health Organization Chronicle files, and where do I begin? I start in 1965. Why? I figure, well, if the money maybe kicked in 1970, let me go 5 years before that and 5 years after that. And so I start by pulling World Health Organization Chronicle, their monthly journal, off the shelves, and I begin to read what they are involved in. And I was surprised, as a public health professional, who over the previous 5 years had four times presented scientific papers at the American Dental Public Health Association meeting, I knew very little about the World Health Organization. Astonishing. I found out that this was like the godfather to the pharmaceutical industry. That they create the standards upon which the pharmaceuticals and the drugs, including the vaccines, are based. And they largely, I learned, help to determine which drugs remain legal and which ones would be illegal. It took me a while before I learned that this organization was largely controlled by the Rockefellers. But you see, by 1965, they had already had about 5 to 7 years under their belt in what was called the Virus Cancer Research Network. They were developing a cancer virus research network. And that by 1970, they reported that they had isolated well over 70,000 different strains of viruses. And when they said, quote, isolated, unquote, it took me another few weeks or months before I learned that.
Okay, that's the end of part one on YouTube. There are actually 7 parts to Dr. Horowitz's teaching. And as I mentioned, that someone actually gave me the tape for that that teaching years ago, and I studied it and listened to it over and over. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was like so shocking to hear that our government was involved in such evil deeds. Ha ha ha, surprise. So now when I, 20 years later, it's been, almost 20 years that I've lived before that I listened to that original teaching. And here we are with a New York Times article saying black women are dying of AIDS because of the mass incarceration of black men. It just almost makes you angry, because the real truth is that we are being injected with all sorts of viruses that were created when they created the vaccines. And so it's time for a wake-up, another big wake-up call. I'm sure there are planetary influences as to why this knowledge is coming out at this time, because we're waking up. And there's just so much to learn, not just on this level. This knowledge I'm sharing with you today is just one level. We are multidimensional beings. And all of this that I'm sharing to you is just one level of knowledge that you need to have so that you don't get sucked into the deception to think that it's all because of these mass incarcerations and all these women having sex with all these men, blah, 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 blah. It almost makes they want us to really look stupid. That article makes you look stupid if you believe it. Because that's not the whole story. As Dr. Horowitz just went into, this is deep stuff. This is deep stuff. And I just, before I'm going to open the mic, because I've got 2 people with their hands up, and I'm going to open the mic, but I want to just read from, part of the solution is from a book that I have called The Sacred Woman by Queen Afua, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit. Such a beautiful book on so much wisdom. And one of the things that she says in this book, which is what I recommend women who are struggling with AIDS or any disease read this book, is to know that Sacred Woman is a spiritual and cultural journey. cultural in the sense that black women have these issues that they need to overcome, which makes it distinctly cultural. And in order to begin this adventure, she says, of discovery and transformation, we must turn our compass south to the sources of the Nile River in the womb of Mother Africa. Just as the Nile flows from south to north, which goes against our preconceived notions of how rivers flow, so too do the origins of the culture that we think of today as Egypt. Few understand or fully appreciate that the origins of ancient Egypt also flowed from the south, beginning in the black African source of Kemetic Nubia, giving rise to the celebrated culture of the north. So this book takes you into a journey of your culture and your spiritual destiny as queens and being sacred women. And that's, we're going to leave this show on a positive note. We're going to take calls first, but that's what I want you to be thinking of. I've given you a lot of information about the virus, the HIV, and all the lies we've heard, and how, as Dr. Harrowood said, it's a man-made virus, it's a man-made thing, man-made origin of AIDS. It's all man-made. So when anytime you read something about HIV, just think man-made biological warfare reduce the population. So I have a caller, area code 770-775. Your mic is open. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing.
Well, greetings, Sister Viata, and I'm very grateful that you are touching on the genocidal process that has been in the making for, like you said, you learned about it 20 years ago, but this has been going on since even in the 30s.
Yes. Different forms of it, I would agree.
Right. And what Francis Quest Wilson wrote about and told us where they got the I have the book in which they talk about the germ warfare, how they took and saw that they could take, you know, the cow and the other animal and take that and create it. But what even happened more so with them studying when they infected the AIDS epidemic that wiped out millions in Africa was because they were inoculating them, saying that they were going to inoculate for malaria. And, you know, that's what sickle cell was for, because that fought malaria in Africa with the African people. But what they were doing was experimenting, and what happened was is they backfired because the young men and people that were leaving Africa and going to the West Indies, and when they would have these excursions in the 60s where these Hollywood, like Rock Hudson and some of these great stars that died of AIDS,
mm-hmm.
they were going to the West Indies having their little boy excursions and bringing
oh
it back here.
Mm,
then
oh
it kind of hit epidemic proportion, and once it started attacking them, it was an epidemic, and it had to be looked at and brought into the news and done something about. But as it quieted down, they began to look at how they can get it to attack certain blood types, and
mm-hmm.
way they were able to do that, because when we would go to the hospital, the first thing they want to take is for CBC, you know, your white blood cell count, they're taking your blood. So they looked at saying, okay, if we can get this disease to attack just certain blood types,
mm-hmm.
and in that attacking the blood type, they would be able to focus the disease to attack and more so attack the African American as opposed to the European. And so they perfected this in a way, but as that epidemic reached another proportion, what you were just reading in the New York Times, because Atlanta, we're 12% of the population, but 61% of the AIDS with women, especially in Georgia, is 61% of the AIDS victims is black women.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we were talking about that earlier, about whether Atlanta, with such a high black population, was affected by this more. So thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it has been because of the migration and the people coming and the promiscuity of allowing, you know, homosexuality to just run rampant here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were talking about the down low in men, but no, they were attacking it by infecting black women, you know, because, yeah, okay, you may have men that's on the down low, may have men that's coming out of prison, but there is no screening for men coming out of prison of being said that they've been raped in prison or whatever may have happened, some way have been infected. There's no screening in them coming out. And so this thing that's happening with it, and if a man gets raped inside of prison, he's not going to come out and brag about that he got raped.
Right.
And these men that are, especially they have certain prisons, maximum prisons, where they've got proportion of men that they know they're infected. They put, if you don't conform to a certain way, they put you in population with these men that have AIDS, and that's their predators and raping young men.
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy.
A genocidal process, because
right.
What is when Kissinger went to the population conference in 2000, and they were saying that there were too many people and that needs to be, you know, a certain amount of millions removed.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
have been full force in doing this process, because this whole thing of even eugenics, because the biggest birth control in the black community is abortion. More
right.
deaths are through abortion in the black community than any heart disease, AIDS, black-on-black crime. Abortions is number one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a people that are now looking at how to annihilate a people with a legality, because you're showing what Orr was saying is that here's the government funding research to do this, because this is part of what the system is set up to do.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, in fact, I have some information here that says if you look under Henry Kissinger in the 60s, they gave the task of looking at overpopulation to Henry Kissinger back in the 60s. He wrote a paper that's about 260 some pages. And he talks about in that paper, the greatest way to get rid of overpopulation is to inject people with contaminated medications. And you can find this, hopefully, under Overpopulation Henry Kissinger on the Internet, or maybe even YouTube.
And you can find his paper that he presented in the World Conference in 2000. And he specifically said that there over the billions of people here, there needs to be a billion eliminated.
Right, right.
So they have been in the process of elimination, because what they can't do is just come out and annihilate. So what they're doing is finding the methodologies to even, I was trying to find the research on it. They have gone, there's a book out, and I have to find the information and get the book because I used it in a presentation. They have now taken disease and created that they have patterned the frequency. This is how deep the science is going now, to where they can infect by transmission, not even injection.
Wow. That's crazy.
There's a frequency. Everything has its frequency, and now they know that disease has its frequency. And what
mm-hmm.
they're doing now is learning the pattern of the disease frequency. They can transmit through your cell phone, through your radio, through you're watching plasma TV, because what is plasma, you know, really comes from? Plasma comes from blood. So what they're looking at is infecting you at the cellular level. This
mm-hmm.
is how important it is to destroy a people, and they're looking at how to destroy us on the cellular level.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is some serious stuff. But by the way, can you define the word down low? I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were just going back and forth about what that really means. What does men on the down low actually mean?
Men on the down low mean is that men that have, like I said, men that have been incarcerated and have had to have relationships with men after five, whatever time that they had, and they have a desire for men, but they also want to be looked at as still a man. They may have had, you know, a man may have been locked up for 5 or 10 years, and so in that time he's adapted in looking at the desire of men as opposed to women. I remember in the movie, the documentary Scared Straight, I think if you remember back in the day, and there was one guy on there told a boy, he said, I will jump over her to get to you because you look better to me than she does.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So it's not really bisexual men?
It's the same thing that you have bisexual women. And that
okay.
They have the need that they're utilizing both desires,
okay.
one of like self, and then one of the, you know, opposite sex. But the desire is that they have become adapted to having this desire because of the environment in which they were put into.
Right.
Or the
right.
women that are coming out of, you know, Orange is the New Black.
Right.
And the women now that are coming out of being incarcerated with other women, and now they're having that same mentality instilled with them in being able to desire women because they don't have a male energy there. They have a big thing right there in Florida, right down there in Miami at Lowell's Prison. They're having a big uproar about the sexual abuse and the abuse of women in that prison in Florida. It's a big article
mm-hmm.
in Huffington News today. They're running a 5-day series on this about what's been going on in that prison for women, because black women, has been an increase of black women of 800% going into the prison system because
my.
Of the Welfare Act.
Hmm. And what's that act doing?
That act says is that women that are getting on aid and getting, you know, service from the states and different places, is that they can only be allowed to receive that service as 5 years. 5 years they have to begin to either get into a working program, or they have to do certain, they have to become more self-sufficient. The state is not going to continuously raise your child from 0 to 18. You have got to contribute towards your Section 8, towards your, you know, your income, and they will give you assistance, but you have to be able to work, you know, a minimum wage job or use whatever skill programs that they develop, but you have to get up, because after 5 years you're no longer eligible for full welfare.
So you're saying when that ends, women are committing more crime?
Women are beginning to do more illegal things
and
being able to survive and take care of the children. Getting with men to selling drugs, selling their bodies, doing whatever it is it takes for them to provide for their children.
So both in Miami and Atlanta, the rise in AIDS among women, we probably could attribute it to both that law as well as the down low factor.
Well, it's not. But that's the facade that they put it under.
Right.
Attack on black women, because the thing in which they're knowing is that genetically she is the strongest contributor to human life. She is the gene pool of human life. And if you get her infected, break her system down, then you begin to destroy that gene pool.
Yeah.
See, they've been doing these experiments with, they had what's called the Human Genome Project, and they did it right there in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, in the same place that they made part of the H-bomb, in the mountains in Tennessee. And what they had is the Human Genome Project. This is where they were making the sheep and the cattle and making these artificial people in test tubes. And what they were using was in having people donate as organ donors, or you get a homeless woman that has no relatives and she is found to be brain dead or incapacitated, they can transfer that body, use her womb to reproduce and inseminate and grow people inside of her.
Yeah, it gets more bizarre every day. Let me bring in, I think this is Sister AZ. Mama AZ, are you there?
Greetings, Sister King.
Greetings. Yes, shalom. How are you?
Shalom. Very grateful to be on this side of the dirt. And greetings, Brother Kwame. Wow. This is Sister Viata, you a trip, sister. You never cease to amaze me. Do you know I'm here arranging as much as I can, and I'm going to get to the point. I have on video, I'm arranging my videos, facts, into one corner. Anyway, in North Carolina, Brother Kwame, you are brilliant. Winston-Salem was where Planned Parenthood started, and in North Carolina, Womble, Representative Womble. Remember that, because you can go up on the contraption and you can gather information. He was a staunch supporter of getting to the bottom of this case in Winston-Salem. According to Planned Parenthood, they sterilized this woman, melanated woman, there in Winston. I have it somewhere on tape. She was being interviewed, maybe on Donahue. This is way back in the day now, okay? But Womble and I can't think of the woman's name, but I know it has to be on the contraption in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Right.
Now, I need for you to research the article, because at the time, my husband brought this to my attention because of his ministry with AIDS, ones, and the homeless. North Carolina was dubbed the highest in the nation of AIDS among women, especially, I believe, in Terrell County, Wilson, somewhere down nearby the plantation.
Right.
And it was because of the brothers being incarcerated and bringing it to that population in that community. Keep in mind, sister, when I go to the plantation and to Pettigrew State Park, I go right by the prison. It's major, major prison there in that particular area. And it was so rampant with the AIDS and women that either on Nightline or 60 Minutes, it's been so many years, I don't remember, but it was the highest in the nation. And you might want to look into that. And in that population, in that community there in North Carolina, it's by the coast, there are a lot of Black Indian people
right there
in that community. Help me out here, Brother Kwame, to get it factual, because you're knowledgeable.
You're correct in North and South Carolina, because North and South Carolina were the two states in which they created, after slavery, they created what was called the illiteracy law. The illiteracy law that if you had one or more children, you weren't educated, that they could sterilize the woman if she had another child and she didn't have a high school diploma or hadn't been to school. And the illiteracy law was up until the 1900s was brought into a court case, because they were sterilizing women, because this is where part of where Miriam Sims in North and South, in North Carolina, I believe, Sims was the father of OBGYN, and he was doing it during on a plantation, and he was using create the study of OBGYN, this is why they call him the father of gynecology. But his study was on black women without anesthesia, without sanitation, without any anesthetics. And so he used them because that's what I said back before, is that she is the mother of mankind. Same thing with the Hottentot woman. And South Carolina and South and North Carolina, because that's where Victoria's Secret is secret, is because the women's prison in there manufactured those lingerie, and then they put the label on outside the prison as to Victoria's Secret.
Get out of here.
Yes, that's part of what her secret is that they're part of her, the lingerie line is made in prisons there in the Carolinas, in the women's prison. Because they have, you know, privileged labor, because it says in the 13th Amendment, neither slavery nor indentured servitude, except if you're duly convicted of a crime in the United States or in its commonwealth. So if you're convicted of a crime, you can be put, you are a slave of the state or indentured servant. You can be worked 24/7. They can rotate. You can't call in sick. You ain't got to pay no benefits. You got free labor inside of these institutions. That's why they privatized the institutions. But the thing that they're looking at now is, you know, the federal prison and what they did with the crime bill is why Obama went in there and started releasing the brothers, because, you know, Unicor is one of the biggest corporations that do not pay taxes, a $1 billion industry. In the federal prison called Unicor, they make everything from wirings from Scud missiles to bulletproof vests. You've got a catalog. Go online and type in Unicor and find their catalog to show you anything that you want manufactured, they're manufactured. They even manufactured designer jeans, what's called prison blues, which they can't sell in America because of commerce laws. But they're a popular designer jean in most European and Asian countries. But back to the AIDS epidemic, and this epidemic is a genocidal process in which they're able to do this under, you know, the guidelines of creating laws of creating what they call biological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
We soon forget Nurse Ruth. The Tuskegee experiment. Now, how come we don't remember? If they did that with syphilis and inoculated them and tested those men there in Alabama, why do you think they would not do this here in America?
Well, that's the funny thing about that history, the Tuskegee experiment, is that so many people are ignorant about it, for one. And they don't understand that, just like you said, if they would do that with men with syphilis, we're so deceived and misguided to think that we can get a vaccination and there's no harm in it, there's no risk in it. This is a frustration with me and my family, especially my granddaughter and her parents, that they don't see that allowing your child to be injected with anything nowadays is a big risk. But I have just really have to trust that my input into my granddaughter's life, and so do a lot of other grandparents, that it's going to make a difference in their health and not be the damage that the risk that they're taking. There's a risk in having anything injected into a person's body today because of the virus.
Right, and it's one thing about it, and it's in Queen of Fools' book, Melanin. And we're melanated people. You can take a Petri dish. You can put any disease known to man into that Petri dish or melanin, and it will kill it.
Yes. Yes. And that's
now,
what they're afraid
inject...
of. Go ahead.
Sister, back in the day, you know, I've had 33 surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Tuskegee experiment, they experimented on me as well. I did not really find this to be a fact until I went to Baptist Hospital. and there was an Oriental doctor. You know, Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem is a teaching hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened that I was assigned this particular doctor, and he was telling me that what was going on with my body was strange because I'm a melanated person. And at the time, and it was slip, it's called slip the pit of epiphysis, something in all that. Well, I was born with my hip joint out of socket. And he explained to me that that situation back then really did not happen like this with people of color, only in the Caucasian race of people. Well, at the time, I did not know that my granddad was Caucasian. He was a doctor in Texas. My grandmother came up in the tail end of slavery and was raped. That produced my mom, and then I came along. Now, what I'm seeing is all those years I lived in the hospital for in Crippled Children's Hospital, which is now called Shriners. Mm-hmm. I lived there for many months, them mm-hmm. experimenting. The first mm-hmm. surgery that I had, I was rolling down to the operating room when President Kennedy was assassinated. I never will forget that day mm-hmm. as long as I live, that mm-hmm. timeline. Well, mm-hmm. again, they were experimenting on me because they wanted to figure out why this melanated child with
wow.
kinky hair is going through these situations. And my parents at the time, my mom, had no clue. All she knew was to cut, you see. So many of us have
yeah.
been experiments for medical research because of who we are. So
mm-hmm.
I just needed to share that and encourage parents to do your research, please, before you allow your babies to be invaded by the knife.
And, you know, that's the point you made, too, Ms. A.Z., in overstanding this, because even with the making of prophylactics, they found that they were putting chemicals on prophylactics that was used to enhance or to activate the AIDS virus in the relationship between male
Whoa.
And female.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Dang.
It's crazier and crazier. And
right.
not just the knife, sister. The parents, please hesitate to let them use a knife on you. But a needle, that's the big one now, is that
yes.
parents
yes.
are allowing
yes.
these children to be injected with all these chemicals. Even, you know, the Gulf War syndrome that men, military personnel endured was basically because they had all taken these vaccinations before they went over there, and then they came back with this Gulf War syndrome, and then they were giving birth to children who had no arms or legs or feet or whatever. So
that was from that what was called the there was newborn weaponry that they were making using in the Gulf War, which was called depleted uranium bombs. And what they
mm-hmm.
were doing was is they were using bombs with uranium in the bomb that when the bomb exploded, the fragments of it had uranium, which poisoned the area that they were exploded in. And what these men were being done to were they're being exposed to this uranium, not being told that these bombs that they blow up and they coming in and going after they have this fire support done, they were infected by these depleted uranium bombs that they were utilizing because they went and found whole villages and towns that these bombs were used in, and the human defects of these children and these people after, you know, this whole thing was covered up was because United States was experimenting with new weaponry to see how this would have an effect on the people that they used it on.
Yeah, I no doubt. And then the thing is, whenever you receive a vaccination, your immune system or your support system is weakened. So whatever happens in a person's environment, uranium or the toxins or whatever, you can't handle it because your
right.
body has been weakened. And I think that's what we're talking about is the man-made origin of AIDS or HIV has caused a weakened support system within the human vessel. When the Creator gave us these awesome, powerful, melanin-rich for African-Americans and for others, gave us these powerful vessels to withstand anything, and then the adversarial energy in the minds of these elite and wicked people who want to think they need to be responsible for reducing the population is now creating a population of people with weak immune system. And then you have these lifestyle habits of the down low and whoever else, and the women in Atlanta and all that, it's creating a situation where a lot of people are going to die. This is the lesson. I think the lesson for us is that we have to help these young women and the children especially. Some of these young people are, you just can't do anything with them. They're in the hands of the universe, the Creator. But we who are conscious, we have to look at the children and try and plant some seeds of wisdom in them and bring about a new generation of people who are conscious and who make different choices in their daily activities and in their journey on this earth that will keep their support system strong.
And you're correct, because children that are coming in now, what we have is the indigo, the crystalline,
yes.
and the star. But we also having these ones that are coming now in the womb are now
mm-hmm.
looked at to be, these are the phoenix children. These are the, these are the conceiving now and the yet unborn will be the phoenix, because they will be rising with the energy of those that are the indigo and the crystalline, because they're on that different frequency. We are
mm-hmm.
the way showers. We're the encyclopedias, leaving them the legacy to know and give them the information through the information highway. But they're coming into a frequency now, and there's a new series coming out on Sci-Fi called The Childhood. And I think The Entrance. These two, they're showing the whole part of what this new system is going to be in with the technology and with the mindset of these newer generations to come, because they're looking at 25 years from now
mm-hmm.
in creating the mindset and showing what it is that they're projecting for them to be about in these next generation. This is why the elders always say, think, and whatever you do, and you're thinking, and whatever you think and do it in seven generations, because what we do now will have an effect on seven generations. So your granddaughter's great-grandchildren will be affected by what we're doing right now.
That's right.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Before I have my next comment, Brother Kwame, where does this Agent Orange fit into this? Is that part of that chemical explosion that you
Agent
spoke
Orange
on?
Was Agent
Vietnam.
Orange. It was Vietnam. This is what my era and the things that happened when I was over there in Vietnam. But that was part of the Monsantos and the DuPont, those chemicals that they were creating as pesticides. And
mm-hmm.
what they were doing is using them and putting them in bombs in order to kill. The Agent Orange was a pesticide that used to kill plants, but it'll kill people too. And what they were doing, they were using it in the bombs. And the people that were affected, those men in Vietnam, and I know a lot of brothers and those that have been affected by it, and it's been 15, 20 years before they even began to even acknowledge acknowledge that they were doing, because there were so many infected by it. And so these are the things in which happen when you say that you're going to help protect this country, but the thing that happens is this country doesn't protect the soldiers that it sends. Because when you come back and you're infected, you've got PTSD, you have, you know, these effects of what has happened to your body, your mind, and your spirit. This is why the indigenous people are being used now in helping those warriors that are tribal warriors coming back into the community. They're using ceremony and traditional ways in helping to deal with PTSD and some of these things that have been done to these soldiers coming back from war, because we knew how to work with the shadow man. When you take a man out of his community or his village and he goes off to war, this is why they wore war paint, because they put on that shadow man's face and they went and they had to do what they do to protect that village or those people in which they were protecting. But when he came back, he had to remove that shadow from himself and put it back into place. They had to know how to do this, and they were well-versed in how to bring that shadow man or put that shadow man back into place where he could become that father, that uncle, that grandfather, that hunter, that provider for the village. These people here, they have a boot camp, but they don't have a reboot camp when they bring you back. They need a reboot camp to undo what they have done to these men and women.
Now, I'd like to say this. Speaking of what you stated earlier, Brother Kwame, about the young people, the Phoenix, the Phoenix Rising children. For some reason, last night, it's never happened. Barbara Marciniak popped up on my phone. Pleiadians, the new explanation, and what you and Sister Viata are mentioning. She mentioned, you know, Barbara Marciniak is a channeler, everybody, to the listening audience. I know we know, but to the listening audience, look up Barbara Marciniak. So the Pleiadians are channeling this new change that's coming, and you must listen to it. And I can't find it anymore, but it's there. My phone messed up, and I can't find it, but you really should hear this one.
But you can
go ahead, Brother Kwame.
There's one that's called the E.T., the Sacred Secrets of the Native American, the Sacred Secrets of the Extraterrestrial.
Right. I'll be quiet.
And that's one, and that's when Lauren was young on that one, because that was back in the late 80s. That was Eagle, Barbara Marciniak, what's her name? There's about four or five different elders. What they're talking about is the Stargate and the Stargate altar and what the indigenous knew, because now is the time in which the 12 chiefs are coming out of the cave. And now they have to come out and they have to listen and tell the people what they have to do to save this fifth world.
Brother Kwame, see if you can send that to Sister Viata, because I didn't punch that one. I punched the one above that, but I did see that one too, I believe. So thank you for letting me know what that one was about. I can't seem to get it back on my phone again. I can't even play what you sent me,
right,
Sister Bianca.
They were knowing that this time after 2012, 2015, this third year, because we were off by 3 degrees, and this is the time in which these children that are born, because my granddaughter is born on Christmas 2012, and that is, these are the Phoenix children coming in, and these are going to be the ones that are going to be followed along with the crystalline and the indigo. And
now,
these
when did the Phoenix start?
2012. Well, the children born in 2012 are considered now to be the Phoenix. These are the ones that are rising from the fire.
Okay. Mm. Thank you.
Okay. I even read something that all children born after 1979 have special gifts to transform this planet.
That's when you started getting the indigo, the crystalline, and the starseed children.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones that were born in the 70s are parents.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. The
those
seed planet there.
Late 70s, 80s, and 90s are basically now going, these are the new parents that are in the making.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Well, it's going to take the ancient wisdom of our Native Americans and the ancient wisdom of our ancestors to heal this generation of women who are caught up in the Egyptian, not necessarily Egyptian, but the matrix of deception and lies and injections from the government, man-made origins of AIDS. AIDS, again, is man-made, and until people wake up and realize the intention of these man-made diseases and change their lifestyle.
Right, and you're correct, because the thing that you're looking at, just like I was saying about the study where 12% of the country's population, but 61% of the AIDS and within our community, that's the same thing in saying we're 12% and over 50% of the men are incarcerated. They're
right.
Focused on the human bank. The melanated, if you look at most of the people that are incarcerated are the darker melanated brothers.
Right.
And the thing
right.
is because the frequency of that energy, of that male energy, is stronger than the mixed.
Makes sense.
So we are coming up on the end of this podcast, and I want to read something from Queen Afua's Sacred Women, because the solution to this issue, and by the way, Kwame, 60%, you said 60% of the women in Atlanta?
It's a report, and it says 61% in 2009 they gave that report, and it's probably higher now. 61% of the women, African-American women in the Atlanta area. Wait a minute, let me get this.
That is, like, astounding. I can't. And yet, you know, every time I go to Atlanta, there is a strange energy there. I don't know if anybody else been there and feel this, but it just.
Hey,
it just.
The site is rense.com, and it's the article it says is the man-made origins of AIDS. Are humans and viral experiments responsible for unleashing the HIV Holocaust, by Alan Codwell, 2003, MD. And he's talking about the AIDS, and like you were sharing the information that Hallwell was speaking on. But it also gives the data from the CDC gave this statistic in saying that they're 12%, but the 61% of the women with HIV infection are in the Atlanta area. This is where they've calculated this. in the statistics that they have found. So they're probably even higher or are leveled out. But this Atlanta was always looked at as the new gay capital of the South.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I have relatives who live there, and I hear plenty of stories about the gay population. So it comes as no surprise. But that statistic is, wow, 60%. I'm, like, shocked to hear the numbers are that high.
Right, because you look at, you know, the population, because what is it? I think it used to be 10 to 1. Because it was 10 women for every one man.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at as the population, 19 to 29 is the prison population, the highest prison population. So that means that you've got these young women, and it pans out because you start off they're equal when they're born. More so it might be more young men, but as you get into adolescence age, more young men are either killed or put into prisons or jails or that, or into the military. So you have a larger population of females.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is even higher, is that you have lesser men and more women. And so when you have that part of baby daddy drama, because you got one man got this woman and that woman and this woman and that woman, because there's a shortage of men. If you got 50% of men at the eligible age of reproduction from 19 to 29 incarcerated, all of those women, that means they're short. Then you got a population of maybe 15% that doesn't want to deal with women, that they want to be like the women. So that means lesser and lesser available men for the women. You see the statistical way they work the system.
Right.
Because
right.
when you gradually look at the statistics, there are more women than men. That's why the men have, you know, it's like, hey, I'm the lion, so I can get me a pride. I got this one, that one, this one, that. And if you infect it, you pass it around.
Right, right. And you just got women who are just their mind needs renewed so badly to come out of that matrix system. It really is a matrix of programming.
It's a programming, but you have women being bombarded by promiscuous television, music, and their overall circles.
Right.
And that
and
you
out
have
there,
a lifestyle that's built around sex.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking about the show Empire, how you got a large black population being programmed by Empire, materialism, violence, poor relationships.
But you got Atlanta Housewife. You've got so many new programs out there, and basically now they're showing most of the programs. So you got all of these black women that are available. Now, what's the new norm that you see on television? Black women, white men.
Yeah, and gays. And
right.
And lesbians and gay men.
Right, or lesbians.
So Hollywood, you know, it's like Hollywood is involved in this almost a conspiracy just as much as the medical system and the government. They're all, you know, ignorantly or unconsciously.
Right.
Yeah, all work hand in hand.
They're trying to find every avenue to cut off the light because, see, the thing that's going to save us, you hear brothers talking about sovereignty and getting out of the commercial codes and all of this. Until we get a spiritual sovereignty, nation building ain't possible.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
Brother Kwame, if you don't say anything else, my brother, did not mean to interrupt you, but yes, you are so on the money. You are so on. You are right. Yes, give thanks. Give thanks. Yes, yes, yes. Thank us. Yes, Brother Kwame.
Yeah, in fact, repeat that again about the spirituality.
I'm saying is that we're talking about until we get a spiritual sovereignty amongst the people, you can't build anything.
Yeah.
Until you have a spiritual sovereignty, until you understand your sovereignty deals with the universal oneness. You're a cosmic citizen of the universe. That's why I like the thing called Desiderato. You know, you're like the universe, no more than the trees and the stars.
Hmm.
But the thing is, until we get that spiritual sovereignty and understand it and start living it as a spiritual being of human beings, we're never going to form a nation.
Right, right. And here's I'd like to kind of end with this quote from Queen Afua's Sacred Woman book. It's beautiful. She says, "Our planet is dying because the collective voices of healthy, whole women have not spoken out loudly enough. Newly reborn sacred women can channel a high healing that will cause the planet to vibrate at its highest frequency and bring us all back to life so we may be saved." Again, newly reborn sacred women can channel a high healing that will cause the planet to vibrate at its high frequency, bring us all back to life so we may be saved.
I did a womb wellness conference with her, and I did a sweat lodge for the group of women that she had. And the part of it is that the thing that she and knowing from indigenous teachings and teachings she's gotten, Mother Earth is beating and her womb is healing. The women have to heal their wombs because the womb of woman and the womb of the cosmos are one and the same. And until our women overstand and repair their wombs, this is what she is teaching about, the healing of her womb, because this is where life originates from. And the spiritual beings that's coming in, entering into those wombs, come with sovereignty and knowing they're so free, they're given the choice of what bondage they choose. Because when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. When you educate a man, you give him something to think about.
That's so true. So it starts with us, as always. It starts with the individual. We can read articles like this and wonder why is this happening or what. And then, but we just have to stop and go inside, and get understanding and overstanding, a higher perspective from our Creator, to know that what's going on.
Right, but that's part of, see, we have evolved.
Yeah.
Man has evolved into this human species that walks this planet and doing what we're doing right now. The process now is the involution. We have to connect the inner self, the spiritual sovereign, that spirit that's within, that this spirit helps to grow this body, because it was conceived between the chemical of the sperm and the egg, and that manifested the black dot, which is the universe, that gave the energy to create and say that this being's going to have, you know, two legs, two arms, ten fingers, ten toes, this color hair, this color skin. It grew all of that. Now, if you can grow that from that brain, and you originated that first heartbeat was started by Source. And once that heart began to beat, the beginning started. That's why the elders say think with the heart, because the brain knows before the heart knows before the brain does. It picks up the frequency. It touches every cell that's in your body, goes through your heart daily. So your heart knows, your heart sends the cells to your brain.
So here we are once again discussing life's journey. And so what we're saying tonight is that we all have to look inward and evolve, and take a look at this kingdom within us and the kingdom above us. That's what we have to get in the harmony with the cosmos, the universe, the energy that surrounds us everywhere, because there is all, like Kwame was saying, there are all kinds of technology being developed to even affect us from the outside with certain energies. And it's because it's all about energy. So we have to become more and more conscious of who we are inside and out. Be very aware of our environment. Things like empire and entertainment that is corrupting our soul. Our soul is being corrupted by some of these TV shows, because the enemy is very wise to create these things to distract us from their intention, their unholy intention, and their agenda to reduce the population. Those who are weak in their mind, body, and spirit are not going to survive. So we have to be concentrating on all three areas, body, mind, spirit, to get them strong. And then the Creator gives us all the power we need to resist the forces of the adversary. It's really not that difficult, but we've got so many distractions. And so we're just here to inform and educate and bring knowledge, wisdom, understanding about all this energy around us and what it can do to us and what it can't do to us, because we do have power, especially if we have melanin in our blood and our body. We have power, but we've got to change our habits, make different decisions, turn off the television, and look within and around us to learn more about our Creator's kingdom. So if anyone has any last-minute comments, now's the time. Go ahead.
I do, sister. By all means, take a moment to go within yourself.
Mm.
Be extremely quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow the phone to ring. Just be quiet and be, and talk to your mini selves.
Mm-hmm.
Your highest you can learn a lot. It kind of bothers me sometimes when I have to be still, but circumstances show me later on that it was a purpose for that time. It was a purpose. And sister, read Queen Afua again if you can. I've said what I needed to say, and I give thanks that you, Brother Kwame, and others on this shelf are in my circle. I give thanks to the Most High, my brother and my sister. I give thanks.
Thank you. Thank us, and thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And I have to go out with one of my favorite songs, and that's if I can get it to play, may not play. But India Ari talks about a song called Soul Bird Rise. And it's not going to cooperate tonight. But that's what we need to be doing, is letting our soul arise and take on new wings to conquer and overcome the adversarial energy that keeps bombarding us. Oh, my goodness. Everywhere we look, they're coming up with...
Hi, everyone. Nick
new...
Ortner from the Tapping Solution here.
No, that's wrong tape. So it's like being aware. We've got to be more aware of what is going on around us, and that is called consciousness. So if we can just get in touch with the environment around us, the people around us, then we can do it. We can together, collective energy. It's the collective love energy. Here's happy music. I can't get any of
it. It's like the E on the beat.
Hey, this one, na sara sara. The beat is tana tana.
he go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. Oh yeah, make you ricotta ricotta, mama Africa ricotta, hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta ricotta, mama Africa ricotta, hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, this one na sara sara, the beat is tana tana. He go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha, hey. People with kalaka, hey. Nandi walanya, ay, nandi kalanya. It gon' make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. It gon' make you feel nicer. Oh yeah, let's go to Kenya, Rwanda and Tanzania. Togo, Cameroon, Niger, Ghana, South and Sudan. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Easy make you no fight, oh. Oy, you go forget your sorrow. Makachuku, you go buy and play for your moto. Oh, oy, oy. This one na sara sara. The beat is tana tana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. People with kalaka. Nandi walanya. Nandi kalanya. You go make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. You go make you feel Niger. Oh yeah, let's go to Zambia, Uganda, South Africa, Togo, Cameroon, Burundi, also Benin Republic. Hey. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, hey.